afternoon and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Today's program is an opportunity to hear from 7 of the 8 school board candidates running in our municipal election on April 4th. The 8th candidate, Christopher Jamieson, did not respond to an invitation to participate in today's show. Our goal for this program is to let you hear from candidates on their qualifications, their plans to meet budget constraints, how they will address disparities in student achievement, tackle the district's 2020 goals, and more. We have divided our hour up among 7 candidates, with each receiving roughly 7 minutes of airtime. We'll take the candidates in alphabetical order. We won't take your calls today to help us make it through all of the candidates. However, in preparation for today's show, we did invite questions from Hometown Alaska listeners, community councils, and involved parents. Now, it's a good thing, given the snowfall we had today, our candidates are not trying to drive in and come into the studio. They're on the phone. And they've all confirmed, and we expect them all to just line up just as we've planned. But in case anything does go differently, I'll alert you and give you an opportunity to call in and maybe let these school board candidates know what you're thinking about in terms of the school district and school policy and school direction. But if all goes well, we probably won't be taking any calls. Before we begin, I'd like to mention that we have resources posted at Hometown Alaska at Alaska Public Media that include details on what the job of a school board member is and a link to the district's 2020 goals, the board's own project list for 2017, a link to the district's data dashboard, and also to ballot Proposition 1, the general obligation bond of $58 million for capital improvements to the district. These are all certainly available all around the web, but we assembled them under Hometown Alaska at www.alaskapublic.org just to make it easy for you to find them. One more reminder, 7 of these school board candidates are scheduled to appear this evening at the West Anchorage Candidate Forum at the Spinard Recreation Center, 2020 West 48th Avenue. The forum begins at 6, but school board candidates are expected to come on at about 7:20. All right, it's time for us to begin. As I said, we're going through our school board candidates in alphabetical order. So we're going to start with Albert Berkey. Welcome, Albert.
Yes.
And we are talking with Albert through a telephone system that accommodates hearing issues. And so the voice you hear will be someone working with Albert through this phone system to allow him to answer our questions. Are we ready there on that end?
Yes.
Okay, great. Albert, we alerted all of our candidates that we would give them 30 seconds to just introduce themselves and speak to voters. So why don't you go ahead and start your 30-second introduction?
Okay. Hi, my name is Albert Burke. I'm running for school board for seat D. And I feel that I would act to do something, improve the education system here. And so far, there's not much to change. Not much has changed. So hopefully, I would do something big on the board and offer some new ideas and new improvements for all the children here.
All right. Thank you, Albert. I'm going to ask a question now. Why should voters select you to serve on the Anchorage School Board? What qualifies you to serve?
Through my experience, my degree in BA in deaf education, and special education. I have a master's in that. My counseling, my master's in that. I've taught at the School for the Deaf. I've taught at UAA and the University of Connecticut. And I feel more qualified to serve on the school board because of that.
Thank you, Albert. This is just a quick yes or no answer. Do you support ballot Proposition 1 for $58.5 million in funds to the ASD capital improvements for public schools through the municipality? Do you support that?
Can you explain that again one more time, please?
Yes, there's a proposition on the ballot that people will vote on April 4th, and it is general bonds in the amount of $58.5 million that would take care of capital improvements for public schools in the Anchorage School District. Do you support that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Many people have encouraged me to ask this question because of the national debate over vouchers and public money going to private schools. Do you support legislation that would allow voters to amend the Alaska Constitution to allow public dollars to directly fund private or religious schools?
At this time, no, because there is no money for that, and there's issues with that.
So you do not support it?
No. At this time, until, the money is there, until the financing is available, no.
Okay. Moving along, of course, budget issues are huge in the district. We've read news accounts that the district is already planning potential loss of 99 teachers to fill a budget gap. The governor's budget is proposing flat funding for the schools, and to accommodate that, because expenses still go up even when the budget is flat, the district is looking at potentially 99 teachers not serving. Albert, what ideas do you have for closing this budget gap?
Yeah. First of all, you really have to remember, you said 99 teachers are going to be, laid off. It's still going to take a few years to close that gap. There's going to be more layoffs, and the schools are going to be open. We're going to bring those teachers back into the school with, the financing. The Department of Education is going to be under that. There's three specialists. There's only three. There should be more than that. There's more children with special needs, and there's other needs, and there's a problem right there. We have to serve them first. We have to solve that.
Albert, would you support other forms of revenue for the school district to support funding schools? And what sorts of additional revenue sources do you support, if you do support any?
We have to, bring back the income tax, sales tax, those types.
So you would be in favor of an income tax?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another question that I have has to do with the 2020 goals that the Anchorage School District has on its website. And one of them says that 90% of students will be proficient in reading, writing, and math by 2020. And yet, current reports indicate that 60% of students in the Anchorage School District are below grade level, and only 40% are at grade level.
I'm sorry, you cut out just a little bit. Below
grade level?
60% are below
grade level performance.
Uh-huh.
So I'm interested in what ideas you have or plans you might have for increasing the performance of students in the Anchorage School District?
Yes. It really depends on who the teacher is, between the students and the teachers. That's the key. That's the key. The key is the teachers, the performance and the skills within the teachers, and how do they deal with the students. And that's the process over which the percentage of what the lesson is and how they teach the students.
But do you see a problem with the loss of teachers in the district and the ability to raise the achievement levels of students? Or do you think there are other ways to do that?
The big problem is right now there's, 30 students per class. That's just too much. It needs to come back down to about 20 students per class. Then we're going to be better off. There's going to be better results.
All right. I think, Albert, we have reached our 7-minute limit for you, and I really appreciate you dialing in and participating in this opportunity to let voters in Anchorage hear what some of your thoughts are about the Anchorage School District. And it's really time now to move on to our next school board candidate. Going by alphabetical order, we've got Dave Donnelly. Hi, Dave. Are you on?
Yes, I am. And I'm running for seat C, and Albert's running for seat D. So we're not running against each other.
Correct. There's two seats open, and although we have 7 candidates, there's only 2 seats open. So, Dave, each of you is given 30 seconds to just kind of introduce yourself to voters. So go ahead.
Well, I've been in Alaska for a long time, so that's not much time. But I'm running because my wife and I have twins in third grade. We have 9 more years in this school district with our kiddos, and we want every child to get the best educational opportunities possible. I was born and raised here in Anchorage, lived here my entire life, graduated from Diamond, worked my way through law school as a logger, construction worker, and firefighter, passed the bar exam my first try, was elected to the legislature, served 16 years representing Anchorage in the House and the Senate, where I finished off my time down there as the co-chair of the Senate Finance Committee. You might remember Governor Walker mentioned the lowest per capita spending they were going back to was 2002. That was my last year as chair of the Senate Finance Committee, where I completed the 5-year plan to cut over $300 million from state spending because we were down to $9 a barrel oil and very, very low for a few years. But
okay.
That was successful in preventing income taxes and dipping into the permanent fund earnings and also preventing the need to cut people's dividends. And that held up for, well, it's almost been 2 decades now.
Okay, Dave, let me move on with some questions. That was a great introduction. I think people do remember you serving in the legislature, and I didn't know you had kids in the school district, so it's good to know. So really, succinctly, what qualifies you to be on the school board? Besides being a parent, what qualifies you?
As the former co-chair of the Senate Finance Committee, I'm the only candidate who's been responsible for preparing a multi-billion-dollar public budget. And we completed our 5-year plan, so I'm one of the few co-chairs of Senate Finance that's ever actually cut the budget, the operating budget, over the history of the state of Alaska. I'm the only candidate who's actually reduced spending while protecting essential services in a multi-billion-dollar public budget. I'm the only candidate with legislative experience, and as the former chair of the Education Budget Subcommittee, I'm also the only candidate with state education funding experience, which is one of the enumerated duties of the school board members is to go to Juneau and lobby for that.
Exactly.
I'm the only candidate talking about the absolute need to make the state do a new school cost differential study to stop education dollars that should be coming to Anchorage schools from going to other school districts. That's an ASD priority right now. It's a state PTA priority, but none of the other candidates are really emphasizing that, and I think that's just crucial to the future of our kids.
Do you support ballot Proposition 1, which would give $58.5 million in bonds to for capital improvements to the Anchorage School District? That's on the ballot this April 4th. Do you support that?
You know, I am not completely satisfied with that ballot proposition, but I am going to vote for it. But I wish it was a less amount of money. I really do. I think it should be targeted towards just the most essential services. And I'm actually much more concerned about next year's bond proposition on the school district 6-year plan, which is starting to renovate some older schools when we're under capacity right now.
Just for our listeners, if they want to take a look at what that $58.5 million is going for, there's a link on Hometown Alaska that takes you to a page on the school district website that tells us that it is going for roof replacements at King Career Center, Muldoon Elementary, Northwood ABC Elementary, Nunaka Valley Elementary, Rogers Park Elementary, Student Nutrition Facility, West High, Willowcrest Elementary, and heating and ventilation. So if you want to know what that money is being spent on, you can see it illuminated here. West High and Romig Middle School Library and counseling improvements and some budgeted maintenance work and some heating and ventilation work. So it is transparent on the school board's website.
Well, it's not completely transparent because remember, all that bond money doesn't have to actually go to those projects. They have a caveat in there that they can use the money for other projects too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dave, moving on, I've been encouraged by a lot of people to ask this question because of the national debate over the new Secretary of Education and the vouchers and the push for vouchers. Do you support legislation that would allow voters to amend the Alaska Constitution to allow public dollars to directly fund private or religious schools?
Well, that's just a nonsensical question because it isn't going to happen. You know how hard it is to do a constitutional amendment in this state? I've actually been one of the few people ever to successfully get three constitutional amendments through the legislature, and I know how difficult that process is.
But you succeeded, so why do you say it couldn't happen again?
The constitution prevents it, and it's not going to happen. We waste so much time talking about that issue when we should be talking about the issues that are right now, right before our noses, and that's the catastrophic reductions in education funding that are going to hit us in the next couple of years, and how we're going to deal with those.
Do you support the voucher?
A super majority to even get that concept on the ballot, and they're not even close to having a majority to get that concept on the ballot.
Right, and I did see in your candidate questionnaire that you simply answered that question by saying it's against our Constitution. But I'm just wondering, philosophically, do you support the use of public money for private schools?
Here's my philosophy. The highest and best use for our public education dollars is for public education. I do also support within public schools, charter schools and alternative schools that have been so successful in giving parents those kinds of choices that are really benefiting their kids in this community. And I think it's wonderful that our current school district is allowing those kinds of choices for parents.
Great. Let's get to the achievement gap of some of our students. It is a goal under the 2020 plan for the district that 90% of students will be proficient in reading, writing, and math. And yet recent performance studies show that 60% of our students are not at grade level. 69% of our kindergartners are not ready for kindergarten when they show up. What ideas do you have for closing this achievement gap?
Well, the first thing we got to do is focus on the early grades. I mean, we're looking at a downward funding cycle here. Even this year, we've got a $15 million reduction, and if the Senate plan comes to fruition, we could be looking at almost another $30 million in reductions. So we need to focus on our lower, younger grade classrooms and preserve those and protect the class size in those as much as possible. We also need to focus on pre-K services, focused mainly on our special needs students, because they're the ones that truly, truly need the pre-K services to get them up to speed to be successful as they come into the regular K through 12 system. So additionally, we need more basic curriculum on reading. The school district just went out and is announced coming up with a decision on a new reading curriculum, because one that we had, frankly, wasn't doing the job. So we need to look at continuing that process of redefining our curriculum so that it's actually getting kids up to speed in the lower grades to be successful in the later grades.
All right. Actually, Dave, we're really out of time, so I'm going to thank you for taking the time to join us on the phone. And I let listeners know that you're going to be at a candidate forum in West Anchorage tonight. That starts around 7:20 at the Spinard Rec Center. So people want to come and ask you questions, you should be there, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Dave. Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. If you just joined us, what are we doing? We are interviewing school board candidates, and there are seven of them, and we're moving through the candidates as quickly as we can, giving them an opportunity to address some of the key issues that the school board is facing and the school district is facing. So I'd like to welcome Alicia Hild on to Hometown Alaska. Hi, Alicia.
Hi, Kathleen.
Thanks so much for participating. We have offered each of our candidates an opportunity to introduce themselves in about 30 seconds. So why don't you go ahead and do that?
All right. Well, thank you. I'm a mom of three, an attorney, a small business owner, and a former public school teacher. I'm running for school board because I really like kids, and I want every student in our district to have the opportunity for a great education. And my focus would be on ensuring our district's long-term financial stability and improving student outcomes.
All good goals. So I guess you kind of folded in your qualifications there. Is there anything else you want to say about your qualifications to serve on the school board?
Oh, absolutely. The school board is comprised of several members who each bring different skills. My graduate training is in law and economics. I have a master's degree in public policy. That means I'm trained to analyze data and shape policies to get different outcomes. Given our financial climate, that's the primary method we're going to be relying on to improve student outcomes. And part of good policymaking requires participation by those affected by the policies. So increasing parent and community participation in that process is a priority for me.
Great. I've told each candidate I've been encouraged to ask this question about the national debate on vouchers and spending public money on private schools. Do you support that notion? And in Alaska, it would take an amendment to the Alaska Constitution
right.
to allow public dollars to be spent in
private
or other schools.
I appreciate you mentioning that. Every forum we go to, all the candidates, we get this question. It's really something people are passionate about. And I think starting with the facts of what Alaska is primed for is really important. Under Article 7 of our Constitution, you can't use public funds for private or religious education. So as far as public funding, that's not something that's on the horizon. But we've already done a lot to provide school choice in our district. We have public charter schools where parents have significant input over curriculum and budgeting. We even have homeschool supporting charter schools where students attend some classes in their charter school and the rest of the time under their parents' direction. So I really want to keep the focus on what's actually happening in our district, identify those best practices, and promote more flexibility and accountability in all of our schools.
The budget gap is a big issue, and the district has already said that they may be down 99 teachers to fill that $15 million budget gap. Now we hear that the Senate is considering another 5% cut to the base student allocation. What ideas do you have for closing that budget gap?
Well, some of the biggest cost drivers for our district are the pensions. There's always a push to try to get state funding for those and take that off the district's responsibility. We have disproportionately rising health care costs and maintenance costs. Our district right now is implementing a new health care clinic for our non-teaching staff. It's expected to reduce costs by 12% each year. I'll be tracking those numbers closely, and if it's successful, consider expanding access to more employees. For maintenance, we've relied on bonds to reimburse our costs rather than incorporating that essential expense into our budget. That reimbursement program was canceled in 2015, leaving us with a gigantic shortfall. So ensuring our long-term financial stability, I want to continue to realign our operating budget to include that essential component. But in the immediate, we have to consider some ways to increase revenue in some of our schools that are significantly under capacity. That may include renting space to some youth organizations already working in our district.
Alicia, would you consider closing some schools?
As far as funding goes, right now the way the funding is determined, if we close schools, you know, they've run the numbers, it would actually result in less funding for our district. So it's not a viable option given the formula for school funding at the state level. So working with policy, you know, legislators on changing some of that is possibly an option. But the primary immediate way we can do that is to increase the revenue of that underused space.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As a member of the school board, do you consider your role as representing the community or representing the school district?
Oh, absolutely the community and all members of the community. I spent my campaign, you know, trying to go out door to door and to forums and anywhere anybody is there so that I can actually reach out and hear from people. One of my frustrations with the way our school board is operating now is that we sit at the meetings and hope people show up, and frankly, not very many people do. So increasing those methods using social media and more electronic resources for people to share their concerns and their opinions before they get so big we can't handle them, to get on the forefront of those issues.
Okay. And I really like to ask this question. The 90% goal of our school district is that 90% by 2020 goal is that 90% of our students will be proficient in reading, writing, and math, and yet the current data shows that 60% are not at grade level, and our kindergartners are coming in not ready. So what plans might you have to adjust this achievement gap or start it trending in a good direction?
Well, this is, a very concerning statistic that we have, and one that I'm frustrated that we waited so long to identify, because it really didn't have to take so long. You know, these reports were coming out. We do have the new curriculum coming in, so the one that we've been under, the reading curriculum, teachers didn't support it in the first place. So hopefully the new curriculum is better aligned with what teachers know to be effective for teaching. But we still have to address the students who are past those early grades, and how are we going to bring those up to speed? So that has to be a priority. We can't just say, oh, we missed those guys and move on. There has to be a remedial component and an aggressive one at that.
And would you support additional forms of revenue to help the district cope with some of these challenges?
Are you additional forms?
I'm thinking of what,
like,
other
property tax or sales taxes?
Whatever you think.
Well, what I suggested was increasing revenue for undercapacity and hopefully reducing expenses. Another area for reducing expenses is teacher retention and making sure our teachers have the support in those early years to keep them in the classroom, and recruiting teachers locally, you know, in the junior and senior year of high school, identifying students who might be interested in education, giving them opportunities like student teaching opportunities so that when they leave for college, they have a vested investment in coming back to our district. And that's another way of reducing those costs.
And do you support an income tax or a sales tax that would send revenue to the school district?
I don't argue for increased funding for our education. We're the fourth highest in the country. I think before we start asking for more money, we need to be getting better outcomes with what we have. And so that would be my focus right now.
All right. Alicia Hilde, thank you so much for participating in this opportunity to share your views with our listeners.
All right. If anybody has any questions, they can, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, or email through my website.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alicia Hilde. I'd like to welcome Andy Holloman onto Hometown Alaska. Hi, Andy.
How do you do?
I do fine. And you are running for seat D. There are two seats open, C and D. Alicia Hilde was a candidate for seat C. Now you're a candidate for seat D. We'd like to give you 30 seconds to introduce yourself.
I retired from the Anchorage School District last summer after 20 years. I originally started as a science teacher at the high school level, moved to technology business education at middle school, and spent 4 years as president of the Anchorage Education Association. So I've been to an awful lot of school board meetings. I have watched and talked to school board members as policy was being formed. I also worked with members all across the district as that policy played out in the classroom. So I think I've got some understanding of the disconnect that sometimes happens between policy and its intent and what it actually does. I think that can be useful for the board as we have to back down on what we're spending.
All right. This is kind of a yes-no question. Do you support ballot Proposition 1? That's the 58 million in bonds to fund capital improvements for the school district. Do you support that?
I do.
Okay. And then I am asking this voucher question. I realize in Alaska our constitution would have to be amended to allow this to happen, but do you support spending public dollars in private or religious schools?
I do not. Mm-hmm. I don't think there should be any barrier to someone forming a private or religious school, but I don't think we should start funding it.
Mm-hmm. What additional sources of revenue would you support to increase funding to the Anchorage Public Schools? Do you support any new revenue sources?
I do. I do think that they need to open the earnings reserve of the permanent fund, not the fund itself. And I lean towards supporting what the House is doing, mainly because it gets us to a balanced budget faster. We still are going to get $1 billion of revenue from oil companies this year in the state budget. And just recognize that a lot of states managed to get a balanced budget without any oil revenue at all, somehow. I think we need to get to that point, get there fairly frequently or fairly quickly, so that we can look at putting ourselves on a growth part again, where we're talking about what we can do more of rather than what we have to cut it.
Mm-hmm. If you set funding aside, which is, of course, a critical issue this year, but if you set that aside, what is the school district's biggest challenge in your estimation?
Well, I think one of the biggest things you start out with basic classes that address a whole lot of students, and a lot of students do really well in that. And then you begin to look at smaller groups that aren't responding to that kind of instruction. For a while, I think the district is on a course of chasing smaller groups and getting more success. We're having to cut that back now as funding goes flat or possibly goes negative. And you're choosing who you're not going to help cross the finish line, basically. When you, say, cut special resources for kids that are on the bubble but not quite there, you're basically choosing to let them make it on their own. And those are going to be very tough choices for us to make.
Mm-hmm. As a member of the school board, do you see your role as representing the community or representing the school district?
Well, more representing the public, overseeing what the district does, setting policy, making sure that policy is followed, making sure that the district acts in the best interest of the community.
All right. And of course, the question I've been asking everyone, our students aren't achieving at the levels we would like them to be achieving. And I know the district has a big goal that 90% of our students will be proficient in reading and writing and math by 2020. And yet right now, 60% of our students are not, for example, proficient in reading. What specific ideas do you have for closing that gap?
Well, the gap and overall proficiency are really two different things. One of the things we have to look carefully at, there's probably going to always be a gap because there are things that the school district doesn't do to cause that. It's a little bit like kids starting a race from different places on the track. And if we help every kid as much as we can, the ones that show up with advantages in life are generally going to finish ahead of other people as well. We have a moral obligation to make sure we're not contributing to that gap in any way, that we're not shortchanging any group, that we're not shortchanging any part of town, that we are doing the best we can for every student that comes in. The way our society is structured is going to cause a gap to exist. If Donald Trump's kids were enrolled in the Anchorage School District, they would have a higher income when they were done, and there wouldn't be anything we could do to change that.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that we can give our individual neighborhood schools a little bit more autonomy in what they're doing, maybe even down to choosing curriculum. That would prevent choosing one curriculum across the whole district, and as was mentioned in the reading curriculum, deciding that it was a failure. Well, in fact, it may work pretty well for some kids. It may not work well for others. If we have different schools using different programs, that the teachers that are right in front of the students have matched to those students, we will have fewer colossal failures. We'll have some small ones, but we'll have the means within our own district to correct that. And I think that's an important way to go forward. We need to let our teachers teach. We need to let the school district or the individual schools have a little more control of their own policy with district oversight.
Uh-huh. And Andy, last question here. Is there a role for families that hasn't actually been utilized in an effort to make up some of these gaps in the district? Is there something other people should be doing that are participating in public education, or do you think families are doing what they can?
Well, some families are. I mean, some families, some individual students are hugely involved in a positive way. There are families, there are individuals that are minuses. And this is one of the difficult things when you go forward is you're working with a lot of kids whose parents are right there, ready to help, ready to do extra. But you cannot leave behind the student that goes home to a dysfunctional family or doesn't go home to a family. So it varies a whole lot, and I'm going to say that's going to always be with us to mm-hmm. some degree, and we just have to work within those boundaries. Certainly, any school should be open to parents and the community participating in a positive way. And there are some schools that aren't really, and that's where the district oversight should come in to make sure that every school is utilizing the community when it can.
All right, Andy, I'm going to say thank you to Andy Holloman. We're going to take a very short break here. You're listening to Hometown Alaska, and I'm Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Today's show is a little unusual in that we are interviewing school board candidates. We have seven of them. We've sprinkled them throughout the hour, and we're going to continue with that process. And so far, everything has gone well. We haven't asked them to come into the studio. This is all on the phone, and we're reaching out to them in their places of work or home, and it's all going well. So at this point, I would like to welcome Tasha Hotch onto the Hometown Alaska. Hi, Tasha.
Hi, Kathleen.
Welcome. And we've given each of our candidates an opportunity to introduce themselves in about 30 seconds. So why don't you just talk to our listeners?
Oh, sure. I'd love to. It's a pleasure to be on your show this afternoon. My name is Jacquesta. My English name is Tasha Hotch. I moved to Anchorage from Southeast Alaska in 1999, and with me I brought my values of education and community. I'm a candidate for the Anchorage School Board seat C.
Great. Would you tell us why people should vote for you? What are your qualifications that make you a candidate for the Anchorage School Board?
Yes, I'd love to talk about my qualifications. I have proven leadership, having served on boards in every capacity from member to president, such as the NeighborWorks Alaska Board and Anchorage Tribes Tlingit and Haida Indians of Alaska. I have experience working together to achieve a vision. My commitment, I've been working toward running for school board for a number of years. I've been waiting for an alignment of my son to be old enough, my family support to be behind me, and of course, discussing my school board commitment with my employer and ensuring I would have the time to do the job right. Third, I'd bring my perspective, the lens of volunteering hundreds of hours in our schools and at all levels. Early learning, elementary, middle, and high school. I've also spent times with programs that support students, like Boys and Girls Club, Boy Scouts, and Campfire. I've seen what works and areas for improvement. Also spending times with families and educators and students to understand challenges. I'm not only qualified, but I have a track record of investing the time it takes to accomplish goals, which is why voters should vote for me.
All right. I'm also asking this sort of a simple yes or no question. Do you support ballot Proposition 1, which is the $58 million in bonds to fund school district capital improvements? Are you in favor of that proposition?
Yes.
All right. Now, there's a national issue with vouchers, and although Alaska does not allow public money to be spent on private schools, it would require an amendment to our Constitution. I'm just wondering, where do you come down on that? Do you support the spending of public money in private or religious schools?
I do not.
Okay. Let's get to the budget. It's a big one, and if you're on the school board, it'll be something you're tackling. Why don't you explain the school budget gap as you understand it and tell us what you would do to close that gap?
Okay. So with public funds, there needs to be transparency about where these dollars are being spent. This is going to be an ongoing problem for many years as we see flat funding in our future while things like the cost of health care continue to rise. So some ideas that I have for kind of closing that gap is developing more shared services like we've been doing with plowing and buses, and what that might look like if we expanded to additional programs or developed more community partners. I'd also like to look for inefficiencies while still maintaining an environment where people want to work. We want to retain our great staff and educators. And then communicate with our funding sources, both the legislature and the municipality, and work together to put public trust back in public education. And that's where the leadership I can bring to the school board really becomes fruitful.
All right. There has been some talk of closing schools to save money. Is this something that you would support?
So I understand the idea of closing schools. Right now, I think that our student population doesn't support that, but I'd be interested in looking at other models where we talk to schools and maybe charter schools to achieve that same goal.
Mm-hmm. Funding aside, what do you think is the most critical issue the school district faces?
So funding aside, I would say the achievement gap. This has been a relevant topic for me for a number of years because I have a teenage son that fits all the demographics of a student that would be at risk. That being said, the district is going through some great things that we've done to address some of these challenges. So the good things are we've developed a baseline with a data dashboard, and we're building good community partners that have a shared vision of addressing these challenges, such as the ARISE program, Destination 2020, and the NAACP. Now it's going to take time to dig into that information and develop a plan, because we know that doing the same thing over and over again is not going to change the results that we get. So once we develop a plan, as a board member, I'd set policy that supports that plan.
I know that I looked on the school district site for sort of what the role of a school board member is, and apparently when you're on the board, you serve on one of three committees: governance, which is policy; finance, which is budget and audit; or communications, which is legislative affairs and communication. Have you given thought to where you would serve on the school board, which of these committees you'd serve in if you are successful in your bid for the school board?
Right. That is a great question. Definitely my strength is in communication. That's really where my volunteer service kind of hits the road with a policymaker.
Mm-hmm. So that's where you'd try to focus your energies?
Correct.
As a school board member, do you see yourself representing the school district or the community, or how would you describe that?
I believe that a school board member is supposed to represent the interests of the community in collaboration with the staff and the students and the parents.
Okay. Let's see. What are your priorities for the Anchorage School District?
So my number one priority is safety. Not that we're not being safe, just that that should always be the number one goal anywhere where we have students. And then communication. So those are my top two priorities.
All right. Tasha Hotch, thank you so much for taking the time to dial in and share your views with our listeners on Hometown Alaska. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Kathleen.
Take care. I would just remind folks what we're doing. This is Hometown Alaska, and we have planned this day's program around giving each of the school board candidates for seat C and D an opportunity to speak to our listeners about what's important to them. And our questions today have come from inviting Hometown Alaska listeners to send questions, talking to the community councils on what questions they have, and just taking email from folks on what's on their mind. So I would like to welcome Kay Schuster to Hometown Alaska. Hi, Kay.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for having me.
And you are a candidate for seat D.
Yes.
Okay. We've given each of our candidates an opportunity to introduce themselves to our listeners. So just give us something in about 30 seconds that would introduce you to our listeners.
Okay. Well, my name is Kay Schuster. I was born and raised in Anchorage, a product of the Anchorage School District, and I graduated from UAA with a teaching degree and specializing in special education. I've been with the district for close to 20 years as a special education teacher, department chair, supervising teacher, and, of course, a volunteer because I have three children in the Anchorage School District, and they're enrolled in their neighborhood school. And so because I have been with the school district for so long, I know the good programs and the programs that could be improved and the programs that we don't need the budget for. So I have a lot of ideas, and I would love for the opportunity to serve on the board and continue to serve our community.
All right. And my next question is kind of a yes or no. Do you support ballot Proposition 1, which is the $58.5 million in bonds to fund capital improvements at the local schools?
This is a tough one because I do believe that the bonds are set up for the building maintenance and to maintain safe schools. However, I don't like the way that the bonds are put together, and they continue to raise the property taxes to pay for the bond. The state is not going to be reimbursing us any money for the bonds. Therefore, our property taxes will continue to rise. And I think that we need to take the community and the property tax owners' choices literally, and I will not be voting yes for the bond.
Okay, and I will let our listeners know that we have a link on the Hometown Alaska site that takes you to a page on the school district site which lays out what this money would be spent for. And in other words, you're looking for a different way to fund schools besides
Absolutely.
Property taxes. And so why don't you share some of your ideas on how we might get other revenue streams into the school system?
Okay. So one of the ways, and I'd like to follow what Matt Sue is trying to accomplish right now, they're outsourcing the nutritional jobs, service jobs, and the custodial jobs. And that is saving Matt Sue district, if it passes, about $4.3 million a year. And they have around 17,000 kids in their district, and we have 46. So if we outsource those programs, we have an opportunity to save a lot of money within the Anchorage School District. And also what we're doing now with the health program, you know how the ASD is hiring the Seattle-based healthcare company to provide health services to different employees in the Anchorage School District. However, the teachers are not covered, but TOTEM employees, and that's going to save the school district quite a bit of money also.
You know, I do think those are interesting ideas, and I think about, you hear it a lot, of outsourcing or privatizing, and I guess one question I would have is, how does the school district maintain the standards they expect if they've outsourced it? Have you thought about that?
Well, I mean, outsourcing the programs to private companies doesn't mean that the quality will decrease. I believe that the quality will probably increase.
Okay. And I mean, some of the issues that have come up in these areas have been for-profit companies being able to work hard to save money, but then perhaps affecting the quality. So you're not worried about that. You feel like the school district could lay out the expectations for these kinds of they're already doing it with their health clinic idea. So you're confident.
Yes. I'm very confident in the private sector. Yes.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the student achievement gap. There's ambitious goals in the school district to see 90% of their students performing very well, and yet the numbers suggest that they are not. And I have certainly heard parents talk about what's the plan to change this. It's something like 24,000 students need to really improve their qualifications and their performance. How are we going to get there? What ideas do you have?
Okay. I have a lot of ideas on how to do this simply because I was in the elementary schools and the middle schools for so long. I have and have relationships with the principals and the teachers. And most of the teachers in the Anchorage School District want the best for their students. They want their child achieving. But right now, a lot of the time, the curriculum is mandated and prescribed for their students. I think that teachers need more autonomy. And same with the principals, that they can use their professional skills to get the kids to where they need to be. And I believe it needs to start in the elementary level. And that's when I say get the programs that work in there and get the ones that don't out of there. I also believe that by the time, studies have shown that if kids aren't reading proficiently by grade three, the chances of graduating high school on time decrease immensely. And so we need to focus on their academic skills by the third grade. How we get there is to put more resources into the elementary schools and quit cutting teacher positions and start cutting the programs that aren't working and perhaps outsourcing so we can improve.
Just following up on that, if we are faced with additional cuts, would you see reducing funding for vocational education, sports programs, arts and culture programs? Where would you've made the case for supporting teachers in the classroom and not cutting the teaching force, but what other areas would you maybe think about cutting?
Administration, different parts of the administration. Our administration is much larger than other districts the same size in the nation. And I think that's where we need to start. Also, I don't believe that we need to be purchasing different programs, and I'm not ready to say exactly on air which programs I believe need to be cut, but working with principals and teachers, they have their ideas, and as a board member, I would talk to the teachers and principals and parents and see exactly which programs that should not be mandated, and then the principals are forced to purchase those programs and have the teachers teach them when the teachers haven't bought into them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Kay Schuster, candidate for school board seat D, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your day and calling in and sharing your views with our listeners on Hometown Alaska. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right. And now I'd like to welcome our final school board candidate, James Smallwood. Hello, James.
Hi.
Welcome to Hometown Alaska. We've sort of introduced each candidate by giving them 30 seconds to just kind of introduce themselves to our listeners. So let's hear from you.
Sure. Well, of course, my name is James Smallwood. I grew up here in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm a father of an ESD student and a small business owner, also a substitute teacher, former youth pastor, mentor, and I'm looking forward to working hard on the school board.
Great. And, you know, what really qualifies you to be on the school board? It's a big job. What do you think really qualifies you to be on the school board?
Well, for me, the main thing that I looked at was this, is that in my career, I spend more time advocating for people and fighting for those who believe that they don't have a voice. But those skills that I have, I know that's something that's needed on the school board, someone that's willing to speak out when no one else is speaking out for them. And also for the mere fact that throughout my career, I've always advocated for children, even with my wife who runs her own preschool. The children has just been the thing that we have always had around in our lives. And even as a youth pastor myself, mentoring kids and ensuring that they're going to be successful in life is something that's just part of me.
All right. I've asked each candidate whether they support Proposition 1, that's the $58 million bonds to fund the school district's capital improvements for public schools. Do you support Proposition 1?
Yes, I do.
All right.
We're Proposition 1.
All right. And we've also discussed the sort of the national voucher debate that's going on in the country, which is the spending of public money in private or religious schools. Now, Alaska's constitution prohibits this right now, so it's not really an issue. But there's still a lot of discussion about it. And I just wonder, where do you come down on that, James? Do you support spending public money in private or religious schools?
No, I don't. I do not support that at all. I do not support a voucher program that will take public funds from public schools at all.
Okay. Thank you. And we also, the budget is the big story here in Alaska, wherever you are, but the school district is especially facing some challenges. In February, the district announced that 99 positions would probably not be filled to close a $15 million gap. Now we see that the Senate is actually looking at an additional 5% cut that could potentially mean $27 million more dollars cut out of the Anchorage school budget. So as a new school board member, how would you tackle this? How can you close this budget gap?
Well, you know, I know it was mentioned a little bit earlier, but I do believe that the Anchorage school district, they're definitely on the right path when it comes to looking at the health clinic. And the reason why is this. One of the biggest expenses that you're going to have is paying out claims. So when you're paying out claims and you can't control the cost of medical claims, it can go extremely high. So if you can control that right there in itself is going to save the school district a lot of money. And offering a health clinic, an option to have that for ASD employees who are able to go to a health clinic, that's going to produce big savings for Anchorage School District. And actually, this really could be a model for a lot of other businesses to look at in order for them to be able to save on paying out on medical claims, because that's a huge driver. And it's a huge issue, not just for ASD, but for the entire state of Alaska when you're dealing with health insurance.
Right. What other ways would you close that gap? Do you support an income tax? Do you support sales tax? Do you support further cuts? How do you see closing these kind of scary gap numbers?
Well, you know, it's always important to look at, you always want to go through the budget and you always want to identify if there's any type of waste that's happening. Let me just put this out there. The last thing that we should do is cut our teachers and their supporting staff. Those two things are very critical for the success of our students. And when you take out qualified teachers and great qualified supporting staff, it does more damage than it does good. I know we need to pinch our pennies, but we want to ensure that we have the right teachers and the right supporting staff in place at the right schools.
So saving teachers.
So it's vital to definitely look at the budget and ensure that go by the different line items and making sure that there's no waste. However, the last thing that you want to do is start cutting teachers and start cutting support.
But would you be in favor of other revenue streams like sales tax, income tax going to the schools or some kind of a school tax? The district and the state have been cutting for several years now. So do you think there's still room to cut, or are you thinking that we need other revenue streams coming in?
Well, I definitely don't think there's any more room to cut, and I'm not in favor of any additional taxes, especially considering the fact that there's a possibility that we're going to have an income tax, and then there's people talking about sales tax, so one more tax.
Yes.
So that's going to be a burden. It's definitely important to identify those things that aren't working, but you have to preserve your teachers, and you definitely need to preserve your supporting staff too.
And James, last question. Funding aside, what do you identify as the district's biggest challenge?
Well, one of the biggest challenges that I see on the district level is the disconnect between the district and teachers and leadership and the teachers, that ultimately the goal is to ensure that students are going to be successful. But when teachers' voices aren't being heard, when they don't have the liberty to be able to teach and to teach the things that they need to be able to instruct their children with, there's just a huge disconnect. And that's, to me, that seems like one of the biggest issues that's not necessarily being talked about during this campaign. Is that
James,
how
you can hear the music, and I can hear the music, and it means we're out of time.
Okay. But
I do want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your day and joining our listeners at Hometown Alaska to share some of your views about your candidacy for the school board. So thank you, James.
Yeah, thank you.
So I would like to thank all these folks who called in today: Albert Berkey, Dave Donnelly, Alicia Hilde, Andy Holloman, Tasha Hotch, Kay Schuster, and James Smallwood. They're all running for school board seats, seat C or seat D. Remember, there's a West Anchorage candidate forum at Spinard Rec Center this evening with school board candidates taking questions about 7:20. I'll be back as your host next week on Hometown Alaska when we invite Assemblyman Bill Evans for an exit interview. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org. Dave Waldron is our audio engineer. Wesley Early worked the phones. Thanks for joining us on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.